इति व्यवच्छिद्य स पांडवेय प्रायोपवेशं प्रति विष्णुपद्याम् तदो मुकुन्दग्रिम् अनन्यभावो मुनीव्रतो मुक्तसमस्तसङ्गा इति व्यवच्छिद्य स पाण्डवेय प्रायोपवेशं प्रति विष्णुपद्याम् तदो मुकुन्दाङ्घ्रिम् अनन्यभावो मुनीव्रतो मुक्तसमस्तसङ्गा इति व्यवच्छिद्य च स पाण्डवेय प्रायोपवेशं प्रति विष्णुपद्याम् तदो मुकुन्दग्रिम् अनन्यभावो मुनीव्रतो मुक्तसमस्तसङ्ग दिव्यवच्छिद्यस पाण्डवेय पाण्डवेय प्रायोपवेशं यो मुकुन्दो माताजि पाण्डवेय प्रायोपवेशं प्रति विष्णुपद्याम् तो मुकुन्दाङ्गिरिवृतमुक्तसमस्तसङ्गा
वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन इति दस व्यवच्छिद्य Having decided, Saha, the king, sorry, Saha, the king, Pandaveya, worthy descendant of Pandavas, Praya Upavesham, for fasting until death, Prati, toward, Vishnupadyam, on the bank of the Ganges, within the bracket emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord Vishnu, the Do, give himself up, Mukundagrim, unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Ananya, without deviation, Bhava, spirit, Munivrata, with the vows of a sage, Mukta, liberated, Samasta, all kind of, Sangha, association. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Thus the king, the worthy descendant of Pandavas, decided once and for all and sat on the Ganges bank, to fast until death and give himself up to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who alone is able to award liberation. So filling himself from, so freeing himself from all kinds of association and attachments, he accepted the vow of a sage. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The water of the Ganges sanctifies all three worlds, including the gods and demigods, because it emanates from the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead Vishnu. Lord Krishna is the fountainhead of the principle of Vishnu Tattva, and therefore shelter of his lotus feet can deliver one from all sins, including an offense committed by a king unto a brahmana. Maharaj Parikshit therefore decided to meditate upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who is Mukunda, or the giver of liberation of all description. The bank of the Ganges, or the Yamuna river, or the Yamuna, give one a chance to remember the Lord continuously. Maharaj Parikshit freed himself from all sorts of material association and meditated upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and that is the way of liberation. To be free from all material association means to cease completely from committing any further sins. To meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord means to become free from all the effects of all previous sins. The condition of the material world are so made that one has to commit sins willingly or unwillingly. And the best example is Maharaj Parikshit himself, who was a recognized sinless pious king. But he also became a victim of an offense, even though he was ever unwilling to commit such a mistake. He was cursed also, but because he was a great devotee of the Lord, even such reverses of life became favorable. The principle is that one should not willingly commit any sin in his life and should constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord without deviation. Only in such a mood will the Lord help the devotee who make regular progress toward the path of liberation and thus attain the lotus feet of the Lord. Even if there are accidental sins committed by the devotee, the Lord saves the surrendered soul from all sins, as confirmed in all scriptures. Svapada mulam bhajata priyasya tyaktani abhavasya harir paresha vikarma cha yach choptitam kathanchit dunoti sarvam ridhi sannivisto. Bhagavatam 11.5.42. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यामनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं सावधेतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्ता श्रीराधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तुते. तप्त कांचना गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे. हरे कृष्णा. फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल थैंक यू टू द टेम्पल मैनेजमेंट फॉर गिविंग मी एन अपॉर्चुनिटी टू शेयर माय थॉट्स ऑन दिस पर्टिकुलर वर्स ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम. because I am not at all qualified, and maybe just because my name is in the list and I requested that I can give class, or I don't know why temple management decides such things that okay, we can give opportunity to such an unqualified person. But very grateful to the temple management for really giving me an opportunity to purify myself. And before I start, I sincerely seek blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas here and whoever is probably hearing online. I sincerely seek your blessings. Whatever I speak is probably for my purification, and it may help you to some extent, then it's definitely wonderful. So, one more time, just reading the translation. Thus the king, the worthy descendant of the Pandavas, decided once and for all and sat on the Ganges bank to fast until death and give himself up to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who alone is able to award liberation. So freeing himself from all kinds of association and attachments, he accepted the vows of a sage. So as we can see, the previous speakers in this particular chapter has been really explaining the various concepts so beautifully. I believe from Sunday, Sri Rama Prabhu started with a wonderful concept that he explained of repentance versus atonement. It was so wonderful. And after that, Nanda Dulal Prabhu spoke about right, wrong versus appropriate, inappropriate, and good, bad versus auspicious and inauspicious. So it's so wonderfully explained. And after that, Sankirtan Prabhu very nicely helped us to park our car in Golok Vrindavan, which was very wonderful analogy that he has given, which is definitely going to help us. And then definitely our most dearest Dayal Chandra Prabhu, as always emphasizing, and it's this wonderful thing he always shares, we know about our birthday or the birth date, but we do not know about our death date. So it's very wonderful. So he emphasized so much on chanting and hearing, because the time is very less and the death can come at any time. So various concepts explained, but if you see the common theme across all the speakers have been explaining is the glorification of Parikshit Maharaj. The Parikshit Maharaj glorification is kind of unlimited. All the devotees just keep on glorifying. And for me also, the one of the most important aspect about Parikshit Maharaj is so amazing, is how can he give up being an emperor of the world, within no time. And accept the life of a sage as it is being explained, or the vow of a sage as explained in this particular verse. How is that possible? It's definitely, we hear that it's the Lord's plan, right? But I believe the Lord chooses somebody who can execute his plan, who is very qualified. So definitely Parikshit Maharaj is the most qualified person who is qualified to execute Lord's plan. And we feel that it's just an accident that accidentally he accepted this life of renunciation and fast until death. It just came just like that. Isn't it too hard to believe? It's not possible. Unless until you are living a life of complete surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, meaning that you are considering everything belongs to the Lord. I am just an instrument. I am just the caretaker of what is given to me by the Lord. Only then, when such thing comes, you are immediately able to give up everything and take the shelter of the Lord as being happening here. I am approaching 50 and still I feel, I still have to visit this particular place. I still have to explore this particular part of the world which I have never been there. I have to experience this type of luxury, that type of luxury, and so many plans that I have that I want to fulfill for the rest of my life. And I just, when I read about this particular episode, I wonder if I've been given such a notice that I am having a cancer or something like that, which within a month or so, or within few days, if I have to give up this world, what will I be doing? Practically I'll be depressed. Or probably finding shelter in something which is not Krishna conscious, because I'll be so like in Bombay language, bokhla jayega, right? Completely. Not knowing what to do. That is why it is so important. I was telling myself that somehow or other I have to convince myself that everything belongs to Krishna. Everything is for Krishna. So I have to start practicing the way how Parikshit Maharaj is teaching us. That no matter what position you are, you can be the emperor of the world, but if you are living your life with a consciousness that everything belongs to Lord, everything is for Krishna, then you will be able to respond to such a difficult situation in your life. Without that, it's practically not possible. As soon as Parikshit Maharaj heard about the curse, and also while he was coming, right, he was repenting and like that, why did I do this? And he was saying that let all my wealth burn to ashes. Let all my power and positions go away. Right? And with that, he was ready to give up everything, and all, at the same time he heard about the curse that he has only 7 days. So what did he decide? That he decided to fast until death. Right? And we may wonder that that's impractical, right? Nowadays, let's say if I get such a notice, will I have to fast until death and completely do this? So impractical in this today's day and age. And like that, many devotees may be doing the various aspects of devotional service in a different way, which is of course in parampara, right? But maybe doing it extensively or maybe doing it very elaborately, right? And we may wonder, it's impractical, you know, it's not like, you know, somebody may be chanting 128 rounds or chanting 64 rounds. It's not practical, like, you know, we have to do different things and stuff like that. So I was thinking that it's basically my incapability to do such things. That's why I am advocating that this is impractical. Isn't it? It's my inabilities. I'm not capable of doing this. But I just still want to be seen as a good person in the society, in the devotional aspects, right? So he says, no, it's not a practical, you know, we have to do something different, which we are good at it. And we advocate that is the way to achieve the perfection. Right? But rather than that, I was thinking it's actually an offense in one sense, right? Rather than that, advocating impractical, I should confess and say that I am not capable of doing this. And rather, I should appreciate that devotee saying that, Prabhu, you are wonderful. Like, you know, why don't you help me understand how can I dovetail or how can I develop such abilities? It is so wonderful. If you do that, it is so fantastic. Right? It will really help us to grow in our own devotional service rather than calling it as impractical. Now, I was just wondering, as he decided to fast until death, right? But where did he go? Where did Parikshit Maharaj go after deciding that he wants to fast until death? Did he lock himself in one of the rooms of his palace and like, you know, seclusion, ekant, I don't want anybody to disturb me because like, you know, I'm leaving this world. Did he do that? No. But what do we see in today's day and age? All the famous people, if you see, when they are given such notice, when they get cancer or any terminally ill disease, what do they do? Do they come in public? No, they actually go incognito. They hide himself or themselves up. Why? Because they do not want anybody to see how they are living this world. Because it is so, they are so afraid that I'll be exposed. That what am I doing at the time of death? How am I responding to the most important event of my life? Even though they may be the most famous people, they may be the most accomplished people, but they cannot respond to the most important event of the life, which is death. But what did Parikshit Maharaj do? That's why we are so fortunate and we should be so grateful to Srila Prabhupada that he has given us the Srimad Bhagavatam so that we have access to such information so that we can imbibe. We may not imitate, we should not imitate, but at least we can imbibe, try to follow in his footsteps to imbibe some of these qualities. What did he do? He gave up all his material association, including his kingly clothes. Isn't it? And he wore just a loin cloth and walked to the bank of Mother Ganga. Isn't it amazing? Otherwise a king, like, you know, there will be hundreds of people. Sir, what do you want? Maharaj, chhata chahiye, ye chahiye, wo chahiye. There are so many things. He completely gave up all the material associations, including the clothes. People are so conscious at that level who are the emperor of the world. Right? How do they look? How do they carry themselves? So much. But Parikshit Maharaj did not care for anything. He gave up all material association, as it has been explained here. And he walked to the bank of Mother Ganga. And what did he do? He took shelter of three things. He took shelter of holy river, Ganga. He took shelter of holy people, all the sages. And he took shelter of holy scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the three things he did. So that is a wonderful message or a lesson that we can learn from Parikshit Maharaj. That what we should be doing and what things we should take shelter of at the time of death. Right? So wonderfully explained. And then we see that as soon as he comes to the bank of Mother Ganga, there is a flood of sages. Isn't it? All the sages from all directions. Even sages coming from the different planets coming there and assembled there to see what is going to happen. So I was wondering that how did they come to know that such a historical event is going to take place? Such a big event is going to take place. For a moment, just imagine that with a notice that, okay, we have to do such event 1 month later, maybe in a month of August, we want to conduct such a thing, right? We have a Adhik Mass is coming up. So let's conduct such an event. Is it possible? With your latest and greatest communication and the transportation technology that you may have, it's not possible to recreate the scene that we are observing today. It's not possible. But then how was it possible 5,000 years ago? How was it possible? Because they were not relying on the material technologies. They were relying on the spiritual technologies, more subtler technologies, which really helped them to have this event. And as I said, there are sages even coming from the different planets. That's even not possible today at all. Right? So this is really, really amazing. I just want to, as being explained so much about liberation in this verse, I would like to focus or try to discuss more about liberation today. So I'll just try to read one of the line in the purport, which is very beautifully explained by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Parikshit freed himself from all sorts of material association and meditated upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and that is the way of liberation. Right? Very wonderfully explained. Just freed himself up from all material association and meditated upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Simple. That is the way to liberation. Now, today's day and age, if you go and ask a Sanskrit word, a moksha, to anybody, right, on the street, who are not into the devotional way of life, which probably the majority of the population of this world is not into that, isn't it? If you go and ask them, what is moksha? Probably some moksha? Maybe I heard there is some rock band moksha. They don't know what the meaning of moksha. And then probably you translate for them, what about liberation? Oh yeah, liberation. Fantastic. It's the best thing to have. I'm really looking forward for liberation. Okay, what do you mean by liberation? What's your definition of liberation? Liberation, simple. Just free, you know. I should be free to do anything, anywhere, anytime. That's what liberation is. So wonderful, right? I'd like to be liberated. But my dear friend, isn't it an absolutely imaginary thing? Is it possible to do anything, anytime, anywhere in this human society? What to speak of human society? Go to even animal society where there are no stringent laws like what we have in the human society, right? Nobody can go without clothes and walk around and do anything and everything. The police will come and put you in the jail. Right?
In animal kingdom, they are free to do anything and everything. They can have enjoyment with anybody. They can eat anything, right? But are you seeing that they feel liberated? No, they are always in anxiety. Somebody will come and grab my food. I was at Melkote, and you know, like, I was carrying the prasad to offer to Narasimhadev, but before that, monkeys were there, and they took it, and there were two bananas in it, and there were about five monkeys fighting for two bananas. Right? So it's not that, even if you don't have any rules and regulations, still you will not be able to find yourself free. Why? Because that kind of freedom is nothing but you are actually being slave to your senses. Because your senses is telling you to do this, do that, enjoy this, enjoy that. So it's actually a slavery. And they are calling this slavery as a freedom, as a liberation. Can you imagine the degradation of the society? This is liberation. And in fact, it can happen in our devotional society as well. Long ago, in the initial days of ISKCON, one follower of Srila Prabhupada, he was in the temple. And like, you know, it was becoming too much for him, all these rules and regulations. So he said, enough is enough. I'm going back to my old way of life. So he left temple and he joined the, as usual, because those days, like, you know, the hippie days, they were all having the rock bands and things like that. So he was also part of one of the band. So he joined back his old group where they were playing this band and he became a part of it. After some time, he decided to visit a temple, same temple where he used to be. So he came there, and of course Srila Prabhupada was there along with all the other disciples. So Prabhupada greeted him, welcome, what brings you here? So you know what he said? He has an audacity to say that, I came here just to check out, you know, how you guys are doing. You know, just to check it out. And then, of course, Prabhupada did not say anything, had a normal conversation, and this person leaves. But before he leaves, Srila Prabhupada asks, how you are feeling nowadays? He says, Prabhupada, I am feeling free. He literally said that to Prabhupada. I am feeling free. Completely free. Why? Because he's saying, like, a lot of rules and regulation, and I'm feeling bound, you know, so I'm feeling really free. And he left, and Srila Prabhupada told his disciples, he is free to grow old, have disease, and die. Isn't it? So we also feel sometimes that it's becoming too much, like, you know, don't eat onion garlic, don't drink tea, coffee. Like, you know, I'm in the corporate, so, like, you know, many times you have to go to some of these seminars or the conferences where, like, you know, you have to mingle with a large group of people, and then they said, have a tea. No, I don't take tea. Okay, have coffee. No, I don't take coffee. What do you do? Like, you know, how do you live? And then the food comes and, okay, take this, take that. No, I can't take this. My food I have ordered for, like, you know, without onion, garlic and things. How do you survive? Right? It's practically, and then their real thing starts, right? The cocktail party. Right? And that time you leave. And the people feel like, is this a crazy fellow? Mufat mein mil raha hai. The drink which is costing so much. Even the managing directors and the people with the very high post, and they have a very fat salaries. They can afford. But if anything is coming for free, they just consume it like anything. Muft mein mil raha hai na. Le lo, maza karo. And they see us leaving, feel, yaar, kya pagal aadmi hai yaar. And uske baad they have a dance and all those things. Kya maza nahi hai? Kya, how you are still alive in this body? They really wonder. So similarly, after a prolonged practice of Krishna consciousness, sometimes we may also wonder, yaar, sahi mein bahar kafi maza hai yaar, yahan pe bahut restrictions hai. Ye nahi kar sakte, wo nahi kar sakte, kuch bhi kiya to Prabhu ji aake bolenge, are aisa kyun kiya, aisa nahi karna chahiye. There are so many restrictions. So we may feel like that early follower of Srila Prabhupada, that I also want to be free. I also want to try something different. right? That means our Krishna consciousness is not deep enough. We have not gone deeper into our Krishna consciousness. We are seeing our Krishna consciousness at a very, very superficial level. Because Krishna consciousness does not rely on any externals. No externals can check Krishna consciousness. See our own Parikshit Maharaj. Such an external situation came. As I cannot put myself, I'm sure many of us cannot put ourselves into this situation and respond to the way how Parikshit Maharaj responded. Right? But see how Parikshit Maharaj did. Because Krishna consciousness, the real Krishna consciousness, a person who is having a real Krishna consciousness is not perplexed when any external situation comes. Now exactly opposite, Priyavrat Maharaj, he was living a life of a sage, a renunciate. And Brahmaji comes and tells Priyavrat, please become a king. Why? Because Krishna wants you to be a king. And he becomes a king and he perfects his life being Krishna conscious. Exactly opposite than Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj gave up everything and perfected his life. Priyavrat Maharaj accepted the kingly life and perfected his life. This is the proof that Krishna consciousness is not relying on any external situations. You may say, oh, this is thousands of years ago. What about the current day and age? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving a lecture on the rooftop of Ultananga Junction. And Srila Prabhupada goes there by the force of his friend. And he challenges Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Who is going to listen to your Krishna consciousness? Who is going to listen to the message of Lord Chaitanya while we are still under the British rule? While we are still under the slavery? Who is going to listen to your message of Lord Chaitanya? Right? What did Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur say? He said, your so-called liberation, right? So-called freedom can wait. But Krishna consciousness cannot wait. Why? Because Krishna consciousness is the true freedom. Is the true freedom. He said, one government will come, another government will come. But you will still remain the slave of your senses. So that is not the freedom. The real freedom is the freedom of giving up the sense pleasure and experiencing the pleasure of serving Krishna. That is the real pleasure. That's what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, I was happy to be defeated by my spiritual master. So can you imagine in the British rule, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur preached the message of Lord Chaitanya. It was very well accepted. There are so many Gaudiya Mathas that he opened up. Srila Prabhupada, our own Srila Prabhupada, where did he desire or where did he actually wanted to start his movement? Not wanted, but he had a chance to start his movement in Jhansi. Isn't it the most favorable thing in India? Everyone knows about Krishna, right? But where actually the Krishna consciousness took its roots? In USA, New York. New York is the capital of Maya, isn't it? Every regulative principle is being broken every moment over there. It's such a nasty place for a devotee. Of course, it's a fantastic place for a materialistic person. But a very nasty place for a devotee. And Srila Prabhupada goes there and does the foundation of Krishna consciousness there. That means these external situations does not matter for Krishna consciousness. Right? Even in the story of Nachiketa, right? When he asked that, how do I achieve the perfection of life? What happens after the death? Right? And Yamaraj explained that follow the path of Shreyas and not follow the path of prayers. What is Shreyas? Shreyas is ultimate good. And what is Priyas? Something easy and pleasurable. Because that's where, as a natural tendency or being conditioned soul, we are attracted towards it. But if you want the ultimate good, we have to follow the path of regulation. Actually, it is the principles of freedom. Right? As I explained, if you want to be free, like the free of that person who wants to do anything and everything, you are actually a slave because your mind is dictating, do this, do that. But when you are able to tell your mind, shut up, that's a real liberation. That's a real liberation. I was hearing a class of Srila Prabhupada on liberation because I thought, like, you know, this is a very wonderful topic of liberation. So Prabhupada, as always, you go to many other people and liberation topic could be so confusing and so, like, you know, impractical or very, very difficult to follow, right, in one sense. But Srila Prabhupada, the way he explained liberation is amazing. It's amazing. He said, the more we inclined towards sense gratification, there are more chances of we committing sins. And the more we commit sins, the more we suffer. Very simple. Right? So basically, the more you are entangled into the material activities and the sense enjoyment, you are entangled into the law of karma. So Prabhupada says, what do we do? What's the solution? So Prabhupada gave a very simple example. Let's say, whatever the milk sweets that you like, be it a peda, barfi, whatever it is, rasgulla, anything, right? And you can't control yourself, right? And you go on gobbling and eating more than you can digest. Then what happens? Dysentery, you fall sick, right? But then, what is the cure? Srila Prabhupada says, the sources of your misery was milk. Of course, you had the products made out of milk, but this, what is the source? Is milk. And the cure is also the same source, a milk. How? You convert that milk into yogurt. Add a little bit of black pepper, salt and a lemon. And he said, if you have this, you will be cured from your dysentery, which has caused due to the overeating of milk sweets. Right? Similarly, he said, whatever the material activities that you are doing for your sense gratification, what you need to do? You just have to dovetail those material activities towards Krishna. And that is the path of liberation. Isn't it? And he gave a wonderful example even after that. He said, this temple, he was sitting in a temple, right? And he said, this temple and any skyscraper, because it's in the New York, right? So that time also there were so many skyscrapers. So this temple and any skyscraper outside is made up of the same material elements. Isn't it? Did we get the material elements or did we get the ingredients to build this temple from Goloka Vrindavan? No, it was from here itself, right? And the building that you see bang opposite was also made up from the same material. Probably we may have got the cement or the wood from the same vendor. Right? And he said, there may be a dancing hall, a dance floor or a hall, right? In that skyscraper, and we have a hall here. So let's say in that skyscraper you go and dance for your sense enjoyment. Then definitely you may be paving your path to hell. But he said, but the same material elements which made the same floor here, which is also a dance floor, isn't it? We all dance in Guru Puja. We all dance in Kirtan for the pleasure of Lord Shri Krishna. And the same activity will lead you to path of liberation. Isn't it? So Srila Prabhupada said, the only thing we need to do is, rather than serving our senses, we should serve the senses of Krishna. Rather than serving our own senses, we should serve the senses of Krishna. One may say, Prabhuji, this is too much. You know, like, you know, mera senses hai to mere ko hi pleasure dena abhi. Ka Bhagwan ki senses ko pleasure kahan dene jaunga? I want to satisfy my senses. Otherwise, how there is possibility to find pleasure? It is not possible. Prabhupada again gave a very simple example. Very, very simple, and we all have heard it multiple times. But it's very difficult to digest that example. He said, stomach, right? All the food is enjoyed by the stomach. The hand goes out to work, legs walks to the places and things like that, and they do all these things and finally get a food. And when the food comes, they all give it to the stomach. All the senses and the body parts say that, hey, come on, we worked hard to get this food and now we have to give it to you. No, I want to enjoy it to myself. And Srila Prabhupada said, you may have a rasgulla, and the hand squeezes, the hand says, no, I want to enjoy the rasgulla, and squeezes the rasgulla. What will happen? Will the hand get nourished? Will hand get any strength from that? No. But all these body parts give the same rasgulla or the same food to the stomach. Everything else will be nourished. Your hand will be nourished, your leg will be nourished, everything will be nourished. Similarly, if you give pleasure to Krishna's senses, all your senses be satisfied. All your senses be happy. But we find it very, very difficult, right? It's a very simple. So Srila Prabhupada always gave a very simple process. But it's not easy. It's not easy. Specifically in this day and age of temptations. It's not easy. But it is possible by following in the footsteps of Parikshit Maharaj. What did he do? He came to the bank of Mother Ganga. That means he took shelter of Mother Ganga. Now, how can we take shelter of Mother Ganga? And Mother Ganga is so purifying. Why Mother Ganga is so purifying? Because she is coming from the lotus feet of the Lord. We all know that Vamanadeva, when he pierced the Brahmanda, the Viraja water, washed the lotus feet of the Lord and first came to Dhruva Loka and then flowed to all the three worlds. It's Charanamrit. Right? So you may say, oh, I don't have access to Mother Ganga every day. No, you do have access to the same water. You do have access to Charanamrit that you have every day at the time of Guru Puja. If we have faith that this Charanamrit is the same as Mother Ganga. And of course it is coming from the lotus feet. It is a Charanamrit. It has the power to deliver me. It has the power to help me serve the senses of Krishna. Then that faith will definitely work for you. Right? We know the story of the Mahatmya of Bhagavatam. Right? That Gokarna and Dundubi. Right? Everyone was surprised that how come Dundubi got liberated being a ghost. Because he heard with utter faith, absolute faith. Similarly, if we also have that absolute faith when we are drinking the Charanamrit, then it will definitely nourish us. And it is said, our faith gets nourished and gets strengthened in the association of the devotees. Right? So, first thing, what that having Charanamrit is also giving us an opportunity to come to the temple and take the darshan of the lotus feet and take the shelter of the lotus feet. That's what exactly Parikshit Maharaj did. Right? Second thing, take the association of the devotees. What Parikshit Maharaj did. Right? So here, this opportunity, this Radha Gopinath temple gives an opportunity to come and associate with the devotees. Same thing. And here Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the third thing that Parikshit Maharaj did. Right? So if you can follow in the footsteps of Parikshit Maharaj by doing these three things, coming to the temple every day or whenever possible, having Charanamrit, have the darshan of the lotus feet, take shelter of the lotus feet, associate with the devotees, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then there is definitely possible to serve the senses of Krishna and by that have a complete satisfaction of our senses. Right? I would like to conclude with one final thing, that our Srila Prabhupada is absolutely genius. And he is the ultimate receiver of the mercy of Krishna. I'm sure if Gop Kumar comes again to this world, he will definitely go to Srila Prabhupada and say that you are the person who are the best receiver of Krishna's mercy. You are the topmost devotee because you have received the most mercy of Krishna. How? Parikshit Maharaj was also the great receiver of Krishna's mercy by becoming an instrument. Krishna chose him to make an instrument to give Srimad Bhagavatam to this world, which was spoken 5,000 years ago in a very local place called Shukatal. But Krishna chose Srila Prabhupada to give this message of Srimad Bhagavatam and distribute this Srimad Bhagavatam not locally but globally across the entire world. That Srila Prabhupada did. And because he had that complete faith in Krishna's mercy and he wanted to serve Krishna's senses, Krishna chose him to distribute this wonderful message of Srimad Bhagavatam all across the world. And that is going to help the entire human race and all the generations to come. So that's the wonderful contribution of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? I definitely want to have comments. I'm sure whatever I have spoken is definitely beyond my realizations. It's just like, you know, gathering from all the wonderful Vaishnavas they have spoken. I just try to gather some jewels from there and I just repeat it here. I myself want to follow what I have spoken. I'm not following it completely. So by your blessings, one day I may be able to follow it. But if there are any comments or correction, please do so. Nothing then. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Sorry? The success mantra of our life is very simple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you do it regularly and very diligently, I'm sure it will bring all success to your life. Why we cry in front of Radha and Krishna?
Yes, like whenever I visit a school, I used to cry for no reason. I used to stay in front of them. I used to cry a lot. Like I am satisfied with my life, but it is that I feel very peaceful while sitting in front of them. I think it's useless to cry in front of humans, but it's very important if you want to say something. If you are feeling very heavy, then why we always choose God? And why we used to cry in front of them? Not even cry, but when we see them, then why, like, we can't stop our tears coming out.
So I must say you are very fortunate one. You can go and ask many people coming and visiting temple many times. And do they have tears in their eyes? In fact, even a very exalted devotee is long for that. That if I see my Lord, I hope the tears can fall from my eyes of gratitude, right? So I think you are very fortunate one, I must say, that when you are coming here, it is you are naturally crying. And it's definitely not something accidental. I must say that that is coming from your past life. You have this sukriti and all the good deeds that you have done, that Lord is reciprocating with you. So that I'm sure that cry is not the cry of agony, right? It's a cry or the tears of joy when you are seeing the Lord. So that joy, as I was explaining, is very rare in this world. So you are one of the very fortunate ones to have this. So cherish that and continue to pray to the Lord that I don't become proud of this particular symptom and be very humble and continue to serve you, my Lord. If you have that consciousness, I think you can perfect your life very nicely.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.